Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17, and Luke 3, verses 15 through 17. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them, saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is Baptism Sunday. I always enjoy hearing the stories about Jesus' baptism, and especially kind of what happened to him after everybody was baptized, how he heard something that every child really longs to hear from every parent, mother or father. You can hear a lot of things in your life, but blessed are the children who hear this. You are mine. I love you. I am pleased that you are my child. That's basically what God said to Jesus, was it not? Those three things, you belong, I love you, and I am pleased that you are mine. And essentially what we believe when we carry this further and we get to the point where we see what the Holy Spirit really is saying to us in our baptism, when we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and when we place hands on the person which represents the giving or the channeling of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, because the idea is that none of that's going to happen without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, everything that God intended from the very beginning is going to happen. And it is something that has already happened in spite of the fact that many times we don't see it because our eyes of faith aren't focused very well, and we may not enter it because we don't have the courage to enter it, except the courage that comes to us from God's presence with us, his power that is ours in the Holy Spirit. And today we're actually going to remember our baptism and be thankful. You can see that Terry just set a couple of bowls on the chancel rail here. And at the end of our service, we're going to bless the water and remember something that's very important to us. In fact, it is the most important thing about you. And that most important thing about you is that you belong to God. You are a child of God, and that is everything that you need to know, and it is everything that we're trying to share today. As I was looking at the way to approach my message today, I was remembering my brother-in-law, Gary Harden, who is a Baptist minister, and he's now written about three books. And when this last one came out, he said, "I will never start a sermon, nor will I ever start a chapter of my books, without beginning with a story." I mean, and I don't know whether there's wisdom to that or not, but as I was thinking about one of my favorite stories that sort of fits into our theme today, it comes actually as a bit of a recollection of a life. A very special life, as it's turned out. I didn't know much about Thea Bowman until fairly recently. She was born in 1937 and was born in Mississippi. She was Methodist. Her parents were Methodist. Her grandfather was a slave. Her father actually was a medical doctor, but he was not allowed to practice medicine in the hospital in their hometown in Mississippi, and her mother was a teacher. But about 9 years old, she became exposed to the sisters in the Catholic Church, and she discovered when she was in this community of nuns that they treated everybody like a child of God, which was something that she wasn't experiencing elsewhere. And she started talking to her parents, and at about 15, she joined the Catholic Church and kept her eyes on becoming a nun, which she did. I mean, she became a teacher and a professor and a lot of other things, and went on through to get her PhD and had a lot of things that were very significant about her life. One of the things that was most significant is in the Catholic Church, she promoted, really more than that, saw that there was a Catholic hymnal of African American hymns that would relate well to the African American community. And she was really always trying to focus more attention and calling the church to be more inclusive during some very hard days in the life of our country. And one of the stories is that she was standing before the National Convention of our conference of bishops. Some 250 bishops had invited her to come and address them, and as she did, she just said to them, "Do you know what it's like to be black and to be in the church today?" And then she backed up from the microphone a little bit, and there was this long silence. And then she began to sing, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home." And of course, that is something that God never intended for anyone to feel, and especially anyone who had any idea what it was like to be in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and what Christ has done. At the end of that address, said that all 250 bishops were standing there holding hands, swaying, and were singing together, "We Shall Overcome." And actually, she died in 1990, and after so much time, you're kind of up for sainthood, and I believe she probably will be canonized when this process is all over. But about that time, she was headed to Notre Dame. They wanted to give her a very special medal, a distinguished medal, and honor her at the commencement, but she died 3 weeks before. She died at 53 after a long battle with cancer, but she died about 3 weeks before the commencement. And they decided to honor her posthumously, however you say that. I'm not sure I can, that I know exactly how that is supposed to go. But anyway, They did. And one of the things they did was draw a lot of sayings and quotes from her students over the years. And I really wish I had time to tell you a bunch of them, but you can Google it. Just ask for Thea Bowman quotes, and there's a ton of them, and every one of them should be heard and framed. But the one that was one of the ones that were mentioned at that commencement in the citation that they were giving her was this, and she said, "Remember who you are, remember whose you are. Be black, be white. Be man, be woman. Be laity, be priest. Be single, be married, but be one in Christ." Be one in Christ. And you know, that's not just a command, that's actually a definition of who we are. Whether we claim it or live it in the way that we're supposed to or not, the fact is that you and I are one in Christ. And the text that I wanted to add to the baptismal text today that comes out of 2 Corinthians is something that Paul said that is just astounding, really, when you think about it. He said, "We now regard no one from a human point of view." No one. He said, you know, even though once we regarded Christ from a human point of view, we know him in that way no more. And what he was saying is that, you know, this world that we live in defines us and categorizes us from a human point of view that says, kind of like what Paul was saying with Jesus. At one time we said he was a Jew. At one time we said he was poor. At one time we said he was a son of a carpenter. At one time he was from the nation of Israel. At one time he was actually condemned by the Sanhedrin for blasphemy. At one time he was committed of insurrection and was crucified on a Roman execution tool. These are all ways of defining somebody from a human point of view. At one time we even viewed Jesus from a human point of view. In all of the ways that we do that in this world by saying this is who he is, or you know, in our case this is who she is. But Paul said, we regard no one from a human point of view anymore. Nobody. And then he went on to describe what that meant. He said, if you are in Christ, then you actually, that's really the old translation. Most of the folks with the Greek now say that, like the New Revised Standard Version, if you are in Christ, there is a new creation. The old has passed away. Everything now is new. Certainly you are a new creation. When you are in Christ and you have been met by this grace that you didn't deserve, you realize that you're loved, you repent of anything that has separated you from Christ, you receive that grace and forgiveness, and you know that you have been set free. It is very individual. It is very personal, and every one of us have that experience. But what Paul wanted us to be aware is that it doesn't just end there. This isn't something that is just personal between you and God, and it's just you and God until the day you die and go to be with God. But there is a new creation, and when you are in Christ, you enter that new creation. Now, Jesus always talked about that in terms of it being a kingdom of God, what Paul's calling the new creation. Jesus was always talking about as the kingdom of God. And that is what we are to enter. And the big thing that the Holy Spirit does for us in our baptism and in our living with the Holy Spirit is that it throws us into this new creation. You are a part of it. And the biggest part of that is that we no longer define humanity from a human point of view. One of the ways that Paul talked about that, I think the best way, was in Galatians, where he said, anyone is in Christ, you know, there's there is no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male or female. We are all one in Christ. That's pretty big stuff. In Paul's day, there definitely were Jews and Greeks. There definitely were slave and free. And there definitely were men and women. And they were defined. And they were defined primarily by walls. You got a wall, and if you're over on this side of the wall, which you've got to be on one side or the other, then you're a Jew or you're a Gentile. And there was a big wall between Jews and Gentiles. Jews would not have anything to do with the Gentiles. Well, they were defiled by such. And then you've got a wall between the slave and free, which means that slavery was legal, and you had the legal right to own and to treat a slave in certain ways. And if you were a slave, you were a slave. And if you were free, then you were free. And there was a wall between those two categories. That's a human point of view that's very real in this world, and it's very real in Paul's world. And then there was the wall between men and women, male and female. And that wall was a wall of inequality. And it was even said and believed that this was established in creation, that God created us unequal by this way, and that women have the women's role and the men have the men's role, and you are defined specifically by staying in the categories that women are supposed to stay in and categories that men are supposed to stay in. And Paul just knew that this is the human point of view. And there's nothing that's going to happen to in this world that's really going to change that point of view. But he said, we don't have that point of view anymore. We're in Christ, and that is old stuff, and the old has passed away, and something totally different, new, has come now, and you belong to it. And really, that's what the church was supposed to do. It was supposed to be a community that modeled life without those walls. In fact, in Ephesians, Paul used that wall as a metaphor. It was the wall of the temple that divided Gentiles from Jews and men from women. There were walls. You could go only so far before you had to stop. And only certain people could go as far as possible. And it was men, and it was priests, and it was the high priest. and that's the way it was. But Paul said, Christ now in his body has obliterated all the walls of hostility, all of the walls that separate us. He's broken those walls down. And he has created in his body a new humanity. And you and I are a part of it. And that's what the church really wanted to do. It wanted to model living like that. And it really is what got them in trouble. Because one of the things that the world was very suspicious of, and especially Rome was suspicious of during the Nero times of persecution of the Christians, is that these people that are supposed to stay in their social conventions, the social laws that we have that divide people, because in this world that's how you live. You live by divisions, and you stay in your divided places. And here are Christians coming together, Jews and Greeks, slave and free, male and female, and they're worshiping together. And the center of that worship actually was the meal, the Lord's Supper. They hardly ever worshiped without the Lord's Supper being at the center of that. And at that time, it was not just a ritual at the end of a service like ours. It was a meal. I mean, it's an actual meal, a big meal. And you ate and you were full when you left. And all of these people are coming together and they're trying to get along with each other, and they're calling each other brother and sister, and they're reminding each other that more than anything else, you are a child of God because we all belong to God. This is what Jesus did. And now that the resurrection has given us our resurrection view of Jesus and who he really was, it's given us a resurrection view of one another and who we really are. And who we really are is family. And that's it. And so, if you have a point of view that includes everybody in this room, if you have a point of view really that includes everybody in this world, then you're looking, you're viewing things as a new creation that came here in Christ. And how you entered into that new creation from the very beginning was baptism. You came into it and you renounced the evil powers of this world and any hold that they had on you, and you gladly chose to enter into the kingdom of God, which was the kingdom that Christ was always painting for us, saying this is what your life would look like when you're in the kingdom of God. Be a part of the kingdom of God, and the way that you get there was baptism. And people were baptized into this community where they saw or had the eyes to see the new creation that involved all of us as one. And it didn't mean that these things didn't exist in the world anymore. In fact, I think that the Christians had to constantly come together in worship and elsewhere to remember who they were so that they could go out into the world and live in the midst of the world that was telling them constantly that they were something different. And they had to be reminded, they had to remember over and over again the most important, the most fundamental thing about them, that is that they belong to God, that they are a child of God through Jesus Christ. And as they remembered that, they had the power to go out and live, even in a world hostile to that perspective. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, they were actually able to be who God had now made them to be in the new creation. It's important that you remember that too. Because it's real, real easy to forget. And I think as the world begins to define us more and more, at least the way that I'm experiencing that definition is by divisions. And I know you get very tired of it, but in this world, people are going to put you in one category or another, and they're going to say that the way that you need to live in this world is on one side or the other. In other words, by division, as a way of life. And the more that we emphasize our divisions, the more we destroy community. And it doesn't matter how small or how large that community is. But those divisions actually do not exist in the truth, the new creation that has been revealed to us. And we need to own it and claim it and celebrate it and ask God through the Holy Spirit to give us the courage to treat one another that way. That's one of the reasons that I'm so excited about where we're headed in 2018 as a local church, as First United Methodist Church in Alabaster, because God has revealed to a number of people that this is who we are. I mean, this is what God has made us in Jesus Christ. Now, just like Paul said, go out and be who you are. Therefore, go out and be who you are. Live in a way that reflects your identity and who you have been made in Jesus Christ.